Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Big thanks to the Nationals for sending over fedoras that they'll be giving out at the ballpark. Upcoming homestand starting tomorrow. Good looking fedoras. Navy blue with red Nationals trim. Looks good. I'll be donning mine for the rest of the day. I posted a picture of me in my fedora at Grand H. Balsam.
I think fedoras have a ceiling, and that these are as handsome as fedoras get. They're pretty close to the ceiling of what fedoras can offer.
They sent you one as well.
I think Tommy's wearing it.
Oh, okay.
Proudly displaying his Nats fedora.
I'm looking forward to Tommy at WWE Raw tonight wearing his fedora. I'll be looking for him on screen near the ring this evening. Hopefully I can see him. Let's get
Top
to our
Tommy.
Beltway Blitz. Mike Jones covers the Skins for the Washington Post. Mike, the PUP list names came out today. Houston Bates coming off an ACL, D'Angelo Hall. Any concern that either of those guys won't be ready for the start of preseason action?
Not really sure about Houston Bates yet. He seemed like he was pretty far behind Hall. Hall was running around really well, doing everything that during the offseason practices that guys like Monte Nicholson or Febby Moreau, guys who just had upper body injuries, he was running just as well. Those guys talked to him. They want his quad to be just a little bit stronger. It's about 15% off from what his other quad. So it's a matter of strengthening that. So I think he'll eventually get out there. Bates, it could be a little while longer for him getting up back on the field before the end of the preseason.
Jones, the offensive line, is it as simple as it's Sean LaValle's job until he gets hurt again? Or is there any competition for any of those interior line spots, thinking left guard and maybe even center?
Well, I think that the center is pretty well locked down to Spencer Long. I'm going to be really interested to see this left guard spot. During the OTAs, it was all LaValle with the first team. But once we get to the training camp, we'll see if they start mixing and matching guys and seeing whether it's Ari Kwanjau or Isaiah Williams. But for now, looks like it's LaValle's to lose. Although if one of these young guys comes in there looking really good, then it's possible that things could change.
Mike Jones of the Washington Post will be on Twitter at camp at Mike Jones WAPO. How much are we going to be able to tell about the development of Nate Sudfeld? I feel like that's kind of an underrated but important storyline as long as Kirk Cousins' future is in question.
Yeah, we're not going to really tell a whole lot during the training camp. But once we get to preseason games, I think is when we're going to see. Because there were times last year where he made some decent throws, looked all right during practice. But once you got out to training camp, to the preseason, you saw, you're like, yeah, okay, yeah, this kid's pretty much a project guy. So once guys are coming at him full speed, he's having to make decisions very quickly on the fly, get rid of the ball out of his hands, that's when we're really going to know where he is. We'll see some stuff with accuracy and everything like that, but there's nothing like the real pressure situations. And you're right, it is an important storyline because if Cousins isn't back here, it's either McCoy or Sudfeld or somebody they got to draft. So if they see some good things out of Sudfeld, maybe they're not as desperate in the draft next year.
Jonesy, thank you as always, buddy. We'll talk soon.
Thanks. See you guys.
Thank you, pal. There he goes. Let's talk Nationals, please, Tommy. Craig Heist covers the Nationals for 106.7 The Fan. Heisty, forearm tightness, Steven Strasburg, injury history. I have hit the panic button. Repeat, I have hit the panic button. And it's the Nats. They always downplay it until it's a disaster. What do we know?
Well, you know how I always used to always tell you about, yes, you always hit the panic button and there's no reason to?
Yeah.
Well, I think there could be a reason to, because forearm stiffness with Steven Strasburg, with the injury history, I has me concerned as well. I've dealt with a pitcher up in Baltimore, Zach Britton, who had forearm stiffness, and it turned out to be a two-month DL stint before he finally got back and healthy. So this is a concern for me. The two innings yesterday, and not just yesterday's start, but the start before that, you could see him, flexing that arm a little bit after he threw a pitch. I'm a little bit concerned.
How about Eni Romero, who also had injury issue yesterday, left with a back spasm, and they downplayed that a little bit, but he was throwing 100 miles an hour in his outing. The bullpen's revamped, so he's not as vital, but he's become an important piece for Dusty.
Well, he's become an important piece because he's been throwing pretty good out of the pen, especially over his last few starts. And, yeah, you know, they finally looked like they were starting to get this bullpen together a little bit. And that's the one thing you don't want is anything happening to a guy who comes in and is able to throw gas like that past hitters. So, again, we don't know too much about what's going on with these injuries. Hope to find out a whole lot more when we talk to Dusty tomorrow before their game against the Brewers at home.
Heisty,
but it's got me concerned.
Heisty, the lineup that Dusty Baker fills out every day is incorrect. That's not going to – I will not debate that. The second hitter in the order, I will keep harping on it until I'm blue in the face and pass out and maybe expire, whatever. That said, Wilmer Defoe has actually played a lot better here of late. Good for him. Still shouldn't be hitting second. But it's good to see him acclimated here a little bit. He's going to be that much more important without some healthy outfielders, it sounds like.
Well, there's no question about that, but that's been the MO for this team all year long. If you look at the injuries and the people who have filled in, starting more than anything in my mind with Brian Goodwin, they've done the job all year long, and Defoe's been a big part of that. I mean, I never would have expected to get the kind of production out of Wilmer Defoe that this team has gotten. So, you know, if there's a magical part to this point, it is the fact that they've endured their fair share of injuries, and the guys that they've had on that bench have filled in pretty well.
Yeah, and they got a deep, well-constructed bench thanks to Mike Rizzo building a pretty quality team, including that Adam Lind acquisition that is looming large. Heisty, thank you, buddy.
All right, guys. See you later.
Absolutely.
You,
Tim Bontemps is on the show at 1 o'clock today to talk about the John Wall Supermax deal and what it means for the Wizards. Next, Skids Camp opens on Thursday. What one question do you need answered before the start of preseason action? We'll get to that on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.